The word today is unique. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Have you ever owned something very rare or lost an item that was unique? One-of-a-kind objects can be very valuable. Jesus, the Son of God, is unique and fills a valuable role as our Savior. Here to explain further is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Unique.
When something is unique, it means that it's one of a kind, that it's extremely rare. In fact, there are no others like it. To have something unique is to be very special. To lose something unique is a disaster. Jesus is unique, and so are you. What are the biblical implications of the fact that Jesus is unique and that you are unique? We're going to be discussing this. We look at John chapter 1, and it tells us that the Word became flesh, that the Son of God took on a human form. That's unique. No one else has done this. Never before, never since, has anyone become the divine Son of God and at the same time human. And that's why in the Gospel of John it goes on to say, we saw his glory, glory as the one and only. In fact, that's absolutely true. John might as well have said, as the unique Son of God. In fact, in the Greek, that's pretty much what it was saying. The word monogenēs there means one, mono. Genēs comes from the root word for gene, begotten, just like DNA, you know, like the divine offspring, so to speak. But the concept here is the absolute uniqueness of Jesus. No one else will be like this. In Colossians chapter 1, it talks about Jesus as the image of the invisible God. The word there means icon. And in fact, the word in the Greek literally sounds like icon. An icon is a physical representation. Many times people have heard about religious icons. And sometimes there are bans in certain countries from transporting these religious artifacts out of the country. An icon is a picture, a representation. And there are many pictures of Jesus that are artists' renderings, their conceptions of what Jesus would have looked like. The reason we have to have artist conception is because they didn't have cameras back then. I really wish, wouldn't it have been fantastic if they would have had digital photography or video cameras or some way to prove who Jesus was or to catch one of his miracles on videotape? But, you know, we are called to believe on the basis of the message. And that's harder to do. But it is the calling of God that we trust in the message that we've been given. And in fact, the writers of the gospel did the best they could. They gave their eyewitness accounts of the story so that we would understand it and so that we would believe it. But what if you had a camera back then and God took on a human form? What would God look like? Well, according to Colossians 1, if you would have taken a snapshot of God, it would have looked like Jesus. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that Jesus, the Son of God, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. What I'm doing here is I'm sharing passages with you to show you that Jesus is the truly divine Son of God. When it says he is the radiance of God's glory, I often instruct children when we are in confirmation classes. I talk about the fact that you cannot separate the flame and the heat and the fire. from a match or a fire that is burning. All three of these things are there at the same time. And you can't say, well, let's take the heat away from the flame, or let's take the color or the light out of the fire. They are all there at the same time. And that's why they are a good description of the Trinity. We don't have perfect illustrations, but a fire is a very good illustration. And we might suggest that Jesus maybe was the visual aspect, that when God was made manifest in a visual manner, Jesus would be like the visual part of the flame that we could see. There are some beautiful things in connection with this word, the character of Jesus, or the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Again, that comes from Hebrews chapter 1. When it says that Jesus is the exact representation, the word there in the Greek is character. In other words, like a seal, the way they used to seal letters or scrolls in ancient times. What it means is that just like we use visible characters nowadays when we write language, those visible characters stand for the invisible pronunciation. If we would say the letter A, well, we can't see it, but we can write it down, and the physical visible portion of that letter is the character. And in the same way, the divine Son of God, before he became visible to us, was invisible. We could not see him. But he took on a form, a humanity, that we could see, that we could relate to. So these are all ways of showing the uniqueness of Jesus. One false teaching I have to warn you of is this idea that somehow we can all become like Jesus, that we can become exactly the same. Either that we were conceived and born similarly as like God's children, or that we can become through our own spiritual efforts, working our way up to attain the same kind of level of spirituality and divinity that Jesus had. These are completely false teachings. They are not found in the Bible. They are alien and foreign to the Gospels. We are never told in the Gospels that we somehow can achieve an equal status with Jesus. Instead, he is always held out as the one and only, unique, and he is worthy of our worship and praise. Something else just to point out to you is that the word kingdom in the Gospels also is understood properly when it's connected with Jesus. And the kingdom of Christ is unique. And there are, for instance, in Matthew 13, there are parables that talk about the way that the kingdom is so precious and so valuable, like a pearl that is beyond all other pearls, or a treasure hidden in a field, and you need to do whatever you can in order to obtain it. What that's telling us is that the kingdom of God, because of Jesus Christ, is unique. It is precious, and we should do whatever it takes in order to make ourselves a member of that kingdom. We should give an all-out effort at putting our hope and our trust in Christ because of his uniqueness. I also said that you are unique. There's 7 billion of us on the planet, but we are all unique, and God has made us and valued us as individuals. His price on us? Priceless. We are all worth his Son's coming in order to die, in order to shed his blood to save us from our sin. In Luke chapter 15, this is talked about, where the stories are told. Jesus told these stories to teach us about how important we are to God, how uniquely important. And it's spoken of the lost sheep. Only one sheep is lost, 99 are left, but that's no excuse. We have to go find the one that's lost. The lost coin, and the woman searches her house diligently until she finds it. The lost son who rebels, and the father's overjoyed when he turns back and repents. There's a theme for each of these stories. There's loss, then there's recovery and celebration. The point is that God is making an all-out effort in order to reclaim us, to bring us back, because every one of us is unique. You see, the Bible teaches that there are no disposable people. In verse 1 and 2 of the passage that we were looking at today, there is a description of the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law objected and said, "This man welcomes sinners." That was in Luke 15, just before Jesus told these stories of the found sheep, the found coin, the found son. Basically, what the Pharisees and tax collectors were saying was, some people are casualties, some people are disposable. Essentially, to hell with the wicked, the ugly. There's throwaway people in society. According to the gospel of Jesus, there's no such thing as a disposable human being. Not in the womb, not in the gutter. Jesus came as a unique entity in order to save every last one of us. He fulfilled this unique role as Savior of the world by going to that cross and suffering the crushing consequences of our sin so that we, as individuals, might be saved. Humans were made in the image of God. That is unique in the created order. And God was willing to go to extreme lengths in order to win us back. It's one of the reasons why the Bible supports capital punishment, because you don't mess with and you don't destroy the good top-of-the-line created beings that God has made. The gospel of Jesus is unique. There are no other ways to be saved. There are no other saviors. There's no alternatives. It's Jesus or nothing. It's very important that you understand how special the gospel and the salvation that it holds out are for you. It means that you must put your faith into Jesus with all your heart and soul. I remember one man who had cancer, and I said, "Let's pray for a miracle." His response immediately was, "I've got my miracle. I've got Jesus." Oh, isn't that the truth? When you have Jesus, you have your miracle. He is the unique answer to your life's problems and your sin. And with Jesus Christ, you can find salvation. You can be freed and delivered from sin and death.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.